This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody.
Hope you're hanging out, enjoying the day, and kicking back. Why, we got this from here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We made it. We made it to January. We made it to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, we finally made it. And, like, the minute you said that, though, I just felt like an instant relief, by the way. Like, I've known this since Sunday.
Yeah.
And we did the overtime show. But when you said it, just now, I'm like, oh, that's right. We did make it. We are into the playoff week. We are into January. We are into put up or shut up territory.
Survive in advance, do or die, put up or shut up.
Does not matter how you do it at this point. There should be no... And ready? I think I'm going to do something here 2 minutes into the show. I am putting my hand up to swear a vow. I vow that for the next several weeks, or as long as the Bills are alive, I will not complain about a singular win.
Like, just get it done, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't care how ugly it is. I'm not going to be like, oh, but they didn't do this, or I'm a little concerned about this against this team. Nope, I'm going to shut the entire way up.
Well, I mean, I've even kind of gotten there, too, with like how their offense operates, because it's become quite apparent, pretty obvious. The Bills do their best work when all three tight ends are healthy. Like that group is essentially their number one receiver as a group. When they are all in, Kincaid, Knox, and Hawes, they can do some damage. And it's been their best wins. Their best offensive outputs have been with those guys in the lineup, even if it's rushing attacks. And like I got there, like, I don't love it in the long term, but in the short term, if that's what works, if that's what gets it done, great. And I will say, Derek, I mean, you mentioned it, you know, however long this goes, it could end on Sunday at around 4 when the game wraps up. I will say, though, I've started to really like Jacksonville. It started late with the Denver win, but they've looked good. Trevor Lawrence has looked like a completely different quarterback over the last 8 to 9 weeks, especially once they've acquired Jacoby Myers. The defense is young and aggressive. Liam Cohen is one of the, you know, young offensive-minded head coaches that just seem to land anywhere and do very well. There's a few misses, but there's a lot of wins. There's a lot of hits. If they're able to go into Jacksonville, and I know it's not the most aggressive crowd in the world, but this is also a franchise that hasn't won a road playoff game since 92. And with that, Allen is 0-4 on the road. That would make McDermott 0-5. If they can go get a road playoff win and beat this Jags team...
Mm-hmm.
I said it on Sunday. I said it last night on the nightcap. I will think they can beat anyone in the AFC. We'll get to the NFC if they get to the Super Bowl, but I'm not worrying about that side of the bracket until it's like the AFC Championship game if they get there. If they can get past this Jacksonville team, I don't really know who can beat them in the AFC. Because they do feel like, I'm not saying they're necessarily a great team. They can earn that in this run here. But they're a very good team, and they seem to not have any real weakness. Their weakness, legitimately, might just be their inexperience.
Yes, and that's for a lot of teams here.
Mm-hmm.
Entering this playoff field, Josh Allen's second in playoff wins among starting quarterbacks. And yes, I know I subscribe to the QB wins aren't a stat. But this is a noteworthy thing that people are measuring. It's Aaron Rodgers with 11, and he's been playing forever now. Allen with 7, second. He has more wins in the postseason than Jalen Hurts does. The man's got a Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But now you're also facing a playoff field where there are 3 players in your playoff field with 0. Another with 1. And then there's Aaron Rodgers with the worst team in the postseason field, and that includes Carolina. and C.J. Stroud and the Texans. So there is something to the Bills have something that other teams in this playoff field don't. Experience. As a team, they have the experience. The Steelers have plenty of experience of making the playoffs. They don't have a lot of experience in winning in it at this point. In the AFC, the Bills have an interesting advantage. But now we actually get to test the theory of, okay, how much does it really matter?
Right. I mean, like, honestly, like, this entire year has felt like, I think for many fans, a very exhausting exercise of how talented is this team? How much is it really just one or two guys kind of willing them to wins? Because I want to put James Cook in that category as well. I know early on it was, where would they be without Josh Allen? You got the NFL's leading rusher. I think you have to put him in that category.
There is something
as well
that you have to balance in there. Yes.
But man, it just it does feel like they are at a bit of a crossroads. All of the pressure, I don't think, is on them. Like, I do not subscribe to the theory that if they lose this game, Sean McDermott is out, or that even Brandon Bean's going to get fired. And that one I can maybe get more on board with than the head coach. But it does feel like a super important moment for a number of these elder statesman teams. The Bills just happen to be the only one that made it. Baltimore didn't. Kansas City didn't. And to be fair, Joe Burrow hasn't been in since like 22, 23.
23.
It's been a while for him.
Yep.
And so this kind of feels like a big moment. And yeah, I don't love that every national talking head seems to be putting all the pressure and the world on Allen and the Bills to win the playoff, to win the Super Bowl this year because of the playoff field. But also, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
That's where the narrative goes.
Yeah, you're the future Hall of Fame quarterback in a bracket with a bunch of unknowns and maybe goods. You kind of have to be the guy to do it. I'm not saying that's fair, but nationally and collectively, how people will talk about Allen's career 5 to 10 years after he's retired, they probably will go back to these playoffs, win or lose, and point to that was probably their best shot. Now, it may not all end up being on Allen. It may go to something like a Bean not making a move for a receiver, especially because they may lose to a team in Jacksonville who it's pretty much universally agreed upon. That's sort of what saved them.
Yeah, Myers being acquired.
Is Jacoby Myers winding up there? So, and like, this is there is a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, I think, on, I think, especially this game, because afterwards, then it just becomes, you might just be in the normal situation.
Thank you for bringing up Myers.
Sunday's going to be wild.
Sunday's going to be wild, but thank you for bringing up Myers, because there's also another thing in this. You mentioned how, like, you don't subscribe to the theory that anyone gets fired, and I would agree with you. But Jacoby Myers, there's another anecdote, another public anecdote that, you know, that's seen as a subtle jab by the head coach to the GM. McDermott's asked yesterday about, you know, the Jaguars, and there's a little bit of praise for how that acquisition helped them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is a change because they're still butting heads. Because, again, there's a public perception right now that, yeah, there's another shot at the GM. And I don't know if that was actually intended by McDermott. I don't want to put the intention there. But at the same time, people are paying attention.
We've been down this road a few times now.
We've been down this road a few times this year. People are writing these things down. They're taking notes. They're going, hang on a dang minute. And yet, at the same time, when it comes to the narrative, fair or unfair, that's what happens when you're the team that is still consistently in the dance and you are consistently left on the stage with no one to dance with at the end. You're not the Steelers, a team that everyone dismisses as like not a real threat. You are one of the threats. You're the one waiting for that flower and you're not picked. And you're sitting there like one of the last two or three teams within the conference and you're not going. That's where the problem lies. Fair or unfair, the Bills have created, unfortunately, a narrative that a lot of people can easily cling to. I hate it, for one. Personally, don't care. It doesn't mean that it's over if the Bills don't win it this year. It doesn't mean that at all. Not in the slightest. As long as Josh Allen is employed by the Buffalo Bills, they have a chance.
I mean, yeah, like until Allen's like 34, I'm not even going to like be entertaining those conversations.
Right. However, as a team, as a franchise, there should be a little bit of pressure on them. I don't think the locker room cares, and this is where the experience is going to help them. They've already dealt with the hardship year in and year out. That's good. Use it. Not a lot of these teams this year know how this feels.
I mean,
not a lot of teams know the playoff exit yet.
You're even, you know, you bring that up too. Liam Cohen. I heard the clip played with Jeremy and Joe earlier today talking about 1 o'clock kickoff, and he is talking about the intensity will be ramped up, the whole thing. Like, he is trying to talk about like what the playoffs will be. And we know that especially in sports like the NHL and the NBA, where the game looks significantly different from the regular season to the postseason. NHL is maybe the most famous for this, is that if you watch an NHL playoff game versus a regular season game, it doesn't even look like the same sport. Mm-hmm. The NFL is around the same, where the intensity is ramped up. All of a sudden, the quarterbacks do mean more. The defenses mean more. Allen, we can go through his stats all we want. His game elevates to a different level than many others. We don't know how a lot of these guys will react. Sam Darnold has become kind of the perfect modern-day study, or like the last 2 years, mm-hmm. where as the season winds down, the games start to mean more.
Lights get brighter.
He hasn't necessarily performed as well. Where Allen has sort of been the opposite. Jalen Hurts is maybe actually the perfect example. He's fine in the regular season, maybe even at times bad, but in the postseason, in the Super Bowls,
he steps it up.
Very, very good. We don't know what Lawrence is going to look like. We don't know what Drake May or Bo Nix are really going to look like. Each of them have had one or two opportunities. May, none at this point.
We do have a semblance of what Trevor Lawrence has looked like, and that's okay. He's been okay. He's been pretty much Trevor Lawrence. He's had his bright spots,
mm-hmm.
the Charger game, and then every other time, not so much. And every other time, I do believe, only constitutes for one other game, and that was the one right after.
It was Kansas City. And so ultimately, he ends that 2022 postseason just over 60 completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. His passer rating is 72.1.
I wonder how many picks he threw against Kansas City now.
Yeah, I want to go back to that because I think it was more the Chargers. It was the first half was a disaster. He rectifies it in the second half. But I need to go look back at that postseason.
But even then, if you're going to dig yourself that big of a hole, looking at you, Bills, don't do it.
Well, yeah.
Don't do the digging yourself into a 21-0 hole in the first half. Don't do it. Like, yes, it worked in the regular season against the Patriots, but can you get away with that multiple times? Probably not. But when I think about these sorts of things, yeah, we don't know about Nix. Nix has played one postseason game. We don't know about May. I feel like we know about Herbert.
Yeah, which
he
is,
has it, collapsed.
Yeah, which is he has bad moments.
He has absolutely collapsed in the playoffs already. And the Chargers do it as a whole. I do wonder if Jim Harbaugh is going to be able to fix some of that stigma that the Chargers do carry around. But the Bills are a team that, when you look at the consistency throughout the postseason, he has a better percentage of wins in the playoffs or wins per playoff year than even Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has 11 wins in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers has been playing for more than 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where you should have the expectations on you. You're the favorite son, and the stage has been set. And that's how the national media is going to look at it. It's Tuesday and I'm tired.
I can't wait.
Like, I'm tired of already hearing about it, really. It has to be now. First of all, no, it doesn't. Just because it's written in the stars doesn't mean that humanity follows it. Trust me on that with any context. But I will look at this team and go, I'm not going to say quite that I agree, but man, if there's a time to put up the kill shot, it's now. It's a good opportunity. I can't wait to hear about the, what do they call it now? Like,
excuses?
Like the soft oh, you guys got through without Kansas City and all and without the Ravens.
Yeah, every championship ever always has the excuses of this team was hurt, this team wasn't in it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
I can't wait for the – oh, Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what – yeah. I'm looking forward to facing the Mickey Mouse AFC champions or Mickey Mouse Super Bowl champions because get it done. Let us actually do this. And I think I'm more excited because what we've been saying for weeks, Zach. What's the best reason that you have for the Bills when they're on their downswing of like, oh, they can beat anyone. They can also lose to anyone. This AFC playoff field is unpredictable and kind of meh. And now we're here. This is the meh. We're here.
Yeah.
We now get to see it in action. The Bills are part of it. But can they just get through this muddled, disgusting mess?
Going to find out on Sunday at 1-803-0550, the number to call. It's the early days. It's only Tuesday. But what are your confidence levels at the moment for the Bills when they do take on the Jags on Sunday? We'll read your tweets as well, but we'll go to the phones here first. Alan is up first. Alan, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? I just wanted to share something. There's a reason why the Bills are favored 1.5 points. And that spread didn't move at all yesterday. I heard a couple comments, people saying, oh, that's going to come down. It's going to be a pick 'em. I actually think, and I was watching something on DraftKings not too long ago, that spread might go up to 2, 2.5 by week's end. And another factor is you got to take an advantage is the crowd. Mm-hmm. I truly believe the Bills will have probably 30 to 35% people there. You can already see it. Jacksonville, there's a on Twitter, don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. How do you know? You don't know. These places don't give information where to sell your tickets to. My other point is this. The tight ends is the X factor. They're not great at covering tight ends, and they don't get to the quarterback. I really believe you're going to see the playoff Josh Allen come back. He was really ticked at that Eagles game, and when Allen gets ticked and this team goes on a roll, I just think he's going to be the huge part. And I look, and I know they're number one against the rush, number one against the pass. But I think Cook's going to have a big day, and I think our two tight ends and Allen are going to James Cook and Brandon Cooks are going to have really good days. I'll hang up and listen to you, but look at that spread. That's going to go up.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for the call. It is curious. I actually think eventually it will get to the point where the Jags are favored. The Bills are, I think, nationally a lot of it's Josh Allen and a bunch of guys. Cook maybe has entered that conversation, but I think eventually, at least as the week goes on, I think more people are just going to look at the Jags might be just playing better football at the moment. I will also say on defense, you bring up a good point with the tight ends. They're 19th in DVOA in covering tight ends. The yards, they give up a lot, what have you, but a lot of these games, especially late in the year, they've been up on teams. Teams aren't running on them. They're just throwing the ball over the yard, just trying to do anything, get anything going. They've been up on them early. And in terms of getting after the quarterback, the sack numbers I don't believe are very high. I think they're fairly low in that. But in terms of their pressure percentage, their hurry percentage, their QB knockdowns, they're top 10, top 15. Again, it's not like it's the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos where you are kind of worried about that or Philadelphia Eagles where you're just constantly worried about it. They are athletic. They're young. They're fast. This has the looks of a team that just had a bad head coach that finally all the young talent is starting to emerge at the same time because they got the coaching staff right. I think this is going to have to come down to Allen just being the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that he is. We go through like a bunch of these guys and the unknowns they are in the playoffs. Allen's not that. Allen at this point, especially after his first year, has been nothing but money in the playoffs. Literally outside of 1 year past 2020. Of course, 2019, you have the loss against Houston. But since his emergence as this great quarterback, 2022 is the only year where he has equal touchdowns to interceptions. Outside of that, it's 4 passing touchdowns, no picks, 4 passing touchdowns, no picks, 9 no picks, 5-1 in 2020. Also, you look at the rushing numbers as well. He puts up 3 rushing touchdowns in 23, 2 last year. You know, he is somebody that just takes over postseason games. He plays his best ball at this time. I think it was great. Bills were able to get him to rest. They didn't really have to worry about playing for seeding. They ultimately get the win with the backups and pretty,
convincingly,
emphatic fashion. But yeah, Allen plays his best. I mean, if you want to look at passer rating, 109.6 last year, 101.7 the year prior. His yards per game as well, 212 last year, 194 the year prior. So they don't even necessarily ask a lot of him in these last two games throwing the ball. But this is where he is at his best, is in the postseason, and they're going to need it.
And also, though, there's a sour taste in his mouth over the last 2 years. You had the football with an opportunity to make a difference in the game, and you didn't. That's going to sit there. That's going to be remembered by him. I know that. That's an athlete thing. Like, I don't like to assume feelings. I'll assume that one, because athletes do hold on to every chip that they can on their shoulder, as tiny as it could be. But this one's a big chip. This is one that he will want to overcome. Just as a player, you want to do that. It's not even about us talking about it. It's already there. It's already in the register. The passing and rushing situation with Jacksonville, we had a couple of callers on the overtime show about that. One was worried about how Jacksonville is so stout against the defense, against the run, and it's a little bit of a fallacy. Jacksonville's gotten up quickly on a lot of subpar teams in their win streak, so it does skew the numbers a little bit there. I do think that the Bills will be able to establish a run game against Jacksonville. And like you said, this isn't Houston, this isn't Denver, where they play a disrespectful brand of defense.
They're there to punish you for showing up.
Houston in particular, they don't disguise their coverage and they don't blitz you, and they will still beat you. But even Houston, they're playing for a decent, like, they still had some of their starters in on defense and got trampled over by Riley Leonard. So, once again, we are back to who are all of these teams really? And that includes Buffalo. However, when it comes to playoff track record, I do also know something else. As of late, the Bills defense has been doing enough. And that's through this season as well. They've been doing enough. What does enough constitute? Well, that depends on the game. But they've been doing enough every game. Whether it's, okay, we're getting ourselves into a track meet, we can't make a stop, and then, oh, hey, guess what? Here's the timely stops that our offense, who's already playing with their hair on fire, can finish the job. They make the timely stop. In the losses, how often have we blamed the defense in losses?
It gets there, but
this season.
But this season, it's been those losses. It's been much more of, man, the defense actually showed up. And it's the offense that has failed them. Playoffs, it's sort of the same thing. I know with Kansas City, it's, you know, they put up a ton of yards and a ton of points. But you mentioned, and I think correctly, no, the last 2 years, your offense had a chance with the ball to go win, and they didn't.
Because the defense has made timely stops.
Yeah, timely stops.
They've done enough to get it done to where, okay, now you have an opportunity with the football to win this thing. And that they've carried that into this entire year. They've done enough for you to get the job done. So, yeah, the narrative is going to be there, lazy as it may be. But I'm not going to go ahead and just outright say that it's wrong. That's where it's tiring to me, is finding that balance.
803-0550, the number to call. The Bills will come in somewhat shorthanded, or at least they're expected to, on defense. Bills head coach Sean McDermott did speak with the media yesterday. Max Harrison unlikely to play, as he did pick up that ankle injury. Not really sure exactly what kind of ankle injury it is, but he's unlikely to play closer to week to week. While guys like Matt Prater and Ty Johnson are considered day to day. The Bills are expected also to bring in kickers, though, later today to work out just in case Prater cannot go. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. It is Tuesday. It's the early days of the week. But what are your confidence levels in the Bills as they're ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the wild card round? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
There's no question he can get hot because he's done this in the past. Talking about a guy who throughout his playoff career has thrown 25 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions. And really the only reason he hasn't been able to advance to the championship is defense hasn't shown up. But I believe Josh Allen can do this because, one, he knows he has to do it. And secondly, I think he embraces the run game he has. He has James Cook, who leads the league in rushing, who can be a great Robin to his Batman and can control games. And when you're talking about Jacksonville, they're good at pressuring quarterbacks, but not at sacking quarterbacks. Good with defense, but not great with run defense. So a lot of things tell me that Josh Allen can get things going.
Jeffrey Chedia talking Jacksonville and the Buffalo Bills. It's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and they've got a few other marquee matchups. Namely, it's you got on Saturday with the Bears and the Packers, and then Sunday 4:30, Philadelphia and the 49ers. I think Jacksonville and Buffalo, though, could easily work its way into, like, when we're all said and done and we're on to the divisional round, could wind up being the best game, or definitely the game with the biggest stakes by the end of it.
Yeah, and I think that it will be an announcement for either of the teams as well. Mm-hmm. Like, for the Bills, it's a different announcement. For Jacksonville, it would be, okay, you beat the team that has been around in the postseason for the last 5 years, 6 years. Okay, you've arrived. For Buffalo, the announcement is kind of turning up the volume on that narrative of theirs of, no, it's Brucey's time to shine.
Yeah, and I say this to you too. Like, I hope people are ready for the fact if they win this, that just gets louder.
The volume gets turned up. Yeah. I said it. Yeah. It's Tuesday and I'm tired. However, every week that the Bills exist in the postseason, the narrative will get louder. Because at a point, once you get to, say, hypothetically, the AFC Championship game, then the pundits are going to, oh my God, are they actually going to do it? And the volume is cranked to 11. I can't take the headphones off. They're glued to my face.
Man, it's gonna be something on Sunday. I can't wait. I love that it's at 1 o'clock too. It's the old reliable time that we don't really get to see all that much anymore.
It
makes sense with Jacksonville. Also, to the caller's point previously in the last segment, and we'll keep getting your calls here in just a moment. I am also expecting a pretty heavy Bills contingent. I always want fan bases of the NFL to be fun and that no one really has a bad fan base. I don't like that in sports leagues. I don't want it to feel essentially fraudulent. Jacksonville is probably the closest to that in the NFL, where it just kind of is like, oh, this is weird. Like, it's clearly a college town. Like, there's always rumblings they're going to move their team to London and stuff like that. I mean, they already play one of their home games every year in London. But yeah, like, I fully expect there to be a lot of Bills fans. There was in 2017. I mean, that's the year that Jacksonville goes to the AFC Championship. And it was true in 2017 that a bunch of Bills fans flocked to Jacksonville for one day and left. That's absolutely true. And I imagine it's going to be the same thing now. Because unlike last time was more the euphoric feeling of we're finally there. Now this time it could be, I'm going to go watch Josh Allen and the Bills. I'm going to go maybe watch a Super Bowl run here. It just happens to be on the road. Oh, so I don't have to freeze? Okay, cool.
Welcome back to the narrative.
Yeah.
And you use it in the favor of, okay, I got to watch this team.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll take your calls. How are you feeling on the early days of the week? Bills at the Jaguars Sunday at 1 p.m. Jerry is up first this segment. Jerry, how are we doing?
I'm good. I'm actually very happy with the defense. Mm-hmm. I think the rushing issues that we have, sure, there was week one. I think the Miami game, it was inflated because there were three or four times that A-Chain had a third and one or a fourth and one and then cracked a seam. In a normal game, he scores one touchdown and rushes for 100 yards. It's not this overwhelming, look at these long runs. It was just situational where, again, it's fourth and one or third and one, and he finds a seam and gets through it. It's you're trying to get a stop there, and you don't get the stop, but you give up a big play. It's, you know, in a normal defense in a closer game, maybe it's much different. We just needed a stop there. Mm-hmm. The New England game, did Henderson have like two big runs? And
he
that
did.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think the numbers are fairly skewed. I don't think we've been as bad against the run as we think we have.
No, and Jerry, it's a good point to bring up. Thanks for the call. It's been Shaq Thompson. And not him necessarily in like the singular, like, guys, he's having an all-pro year. It's just more him being slotted at middle linebacker has really improved the Bills' rush defense. They have had a problem, and you bring up the long runs as well. And it was, yeah, they got past the initial contact, the initial, you know, hit point. And then once they got towards the linebackers, Terrell Bernard, it went south a lot of the time for the Bills. Didn't always have to be these 60-yard touchdown runs, but it was, you know, 15, 20 yards. You know, now all of a sudden Cole Bishop is coming up, and we mentioned that with him as well. When you're
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Safety leads your team in tackles. Probably not a great sign for the day.
It's not a great sign for the day. It's not a great sign for your season, as a matter of fact, if that's also the case.
But so looking at their rushing stats, and if you want to, we can even go from the Miami game. You know, Tampa is not great. Miami's not great. 107 against Miami, 202 against Tampa. Then it goes down to 108 against Houston, a loss. But then 58 against Pittsburgh, 62 against Cincinnati, although they were throwing the ball quite a bit. However, they only end with 338 total yards. 246, you do mention it there with New England, 160 against, or excuse me, yeah, New England, 160 against Cleveland, then 82 against Philadelphia. So kind of sandwiched in there, they are improving. It's not the greatest thing in the world. They are still not a great run defense by any stretch of the imagination. But I also am not going to sit here and say Etienne is going to be the guy that's going to kill them finally.
Well, the thing is that it's about how they pursue. It's not about the backs themselves. It is about who they are dealing with offensive line-wise, what's the pursuit angles, how are they shedding blockers. You mentioned, if a safety is leading the team in tackles on the day, it's not a good day. I hinted at season. Zach, the starting safeties lead the team in tackles, in Cole Bishop and Jordan Poyer at second.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of pursuit angles. It's about block shedding. It is about pursuit, because it's not always about the big runs. You mentioned like the 15-20s. I'm going with the run that should be 2 or 3 yards that ends up 9.
Right.
Because of a missed tackle. Because of a bad pursuit angle. Mm-hmm. Because you couldn't get off the block in time. Because you over-pursued and you got sealed off. And that's where Shaq Thompson's been valuable, is cutting down on the, that should be a 2 or 3 yard gain and it ends up 9 and it's 2nd and 1. That's the play you need to eliminate. That's the play that kills you, because that's not the flashy one. That's not the one that stands out, but it's the one that keeps the drive going. And I will say there's one part to the Bills' run defense being problematic, and it's those types of runs. Why? They extend drives, they put teams into favorable situations, and that allows them to chew up the clock. Big runs can go for touchdowns. You get the football back. The Bills sometimes don't have the clock working for them. That's the big effect that I look for. The Bills do operate on a more of a time-eating efficiency offense now. You need that clock. At the very least, you need to make sure you're getting yourself off the field. And when you have those runs, the ones that should be stopped for a minimal gain, and they go through the linebacking core, it is infuriating to see.
Yeah, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to end up spending a lot of time on the run defense. I do know that. It's been the passing attack for Jacksonville that has kind of unlocked them. It is Trevor Lawrence and the way right. He is playing. It is Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers being incredible. They haven't had Travis Hunter basically for this entire win streak. It's been the other guys. So like the first round pick, the guy they trade up for, hasn't really even been a part of this. And you're likely going to be down Max Hairston this week. Again, he's doubtful to play or unlikely to play. So we're going to kind of move with that being the case. So it's going to be Christian Benford, Trey White, and probably Dane Jackson getting called up are going to be your boundary corners. I mean, it's going to be a tough test. This is where you do wonder, or maybe hope, what have you, what kind of playoff performer is Trevor Lawrence? Do the lights get brighter? Or is it just going to be the sheer fact, because this is true, and I've mentioned, you know, you're not just the immediate heir apparent, right? Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson are out, so it's got to be Josh Allen now, right? I've mentioned that. You're not entitled to being the next guy up. But with that being said, most teams do have to go through a losing period before they win. That is true. That is at many times the case. It would be pretty stunning if Jacksonville goes from one of the locales of the league up there with the Jets and the Browns of just being complete ineptitude, incarnate, to all of a sudden 1 year because they got Liam Cohen, right? That all of a sudden, they're beating everybody now. Now it doesn't matter. We can look at the Bills' schedule and everything with that and how it's fairly weak, even their biggest wins. Kansas City is not a playoff team.
Similarly to Drake May and Mike Vrabel.
Right.
Like, neither of you have gotten anywhere deep in postseason. At least Denver, I can say Sean Payton's done this before.
Vrabel's got a little bit with Tennessee.
Vrabel's got a little bit, but he also was the one seed that got trounced right away. But, which also probably is going to happen in Denver.
It definitely could. But I just I look at Jacksonville, though, and I do wonder, like, maybe is it a year too soon? Like, is next year the year where all of a sudden they maybe lose more games because the schedule's harder, but overall take a much bigger step forward? I don't know. It's why I really like the AFC bracket so much this year. It's also why I kind of can't stand it, because you really just don't know what you're getting. You always knew what you were getting with Mahomes, Allen, Lamar in there. They were all going to win a game, and then the divisional round is where we're going to get the fireworks show. And then we'll see who winds up in Kansas City for the AFC Championship, because that just seems how it always went.
It seems like how it always went. Even though they weren't the one seed, they found a way to have that out of the way.
And now, what is it, like for the first time since like 2019 or something like that, one of Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes is not going to be in the AFC Championship?
Well, yeah, that's a hard – wait. Patrick Mahomes alone isn't going to be in the AFC
Right, but Burrow was also like at least one of those guys was always in it.
But Allen was the other one.
Allen was the other
one. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, really, I don't know why they included Burrow's name in there. But because the other guy that's been there the other half of the time in the AFC Championship game is still there.
Is still there. It's just but to me, it's going to be a wild ride. You know, even if it ends on Sunday for the Bills, I'm still going to be kind of almost morbidly curious to see how it all ends. Because there's certain teams, fair or unfair, I mean, there's probably going to be people out there that say the same thing about Buffalo. If you grew up in the 2000s on, it'll feel weird to see them in the Super Bowl. I will be awestruck if I see a Jacksonville Jaguars team in the Super Bowl. It will feel wrong, right? And I don't want to say that disrespectfully, but let's all be honest here. Like,
it's the same with Buffalo.
It will feel weird. And you know, I look in the NFC side of things, though, too. Like, it's not that long ago Carolina was in the Super Bowl, but that'd be insane.
Even weirder. Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Like, Houston, Jacksonville, Buffalo are the three teams that you can look at, and the logo on the helmet being slapped onto a Super Bowl billboard will feel weird for a lot of people in the country.
Yeah, depending on your age, it will be very, very strange. Let's go back to the phones. JD is up next. JD, how we doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I just want to say, having watched the Bills for about 55 years, Josh Allen is young. He's still healthy. And this club has been good enough to win it for like 5 or 6 years. And this is a mental thing. It is time for them to decide they're going to do it. And I see clubs, San Francisco, Seattle, they're all beatable. And I just remember that John Elway was 37 when he finally won one, because it took them that long to find him Terrell Davis.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Josh Allen is sitting there with James Cook and Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, and they've got a hell of a running game. Today is the day. I don't want to hear about McDermott or Bean or whoever. This is single elimination playoffs. This is not seven-game series. And I'm a big believer that it's time for the Bills to decide that they're going to get the timing right and show up on the right day. Now, as far as the run defense goes, every time I hear it stinks, they go out and stop Saquon Barkley for, like, I don't know, 68 yards or whatever it was. So I think Shaq Thompson's been an upgrade, and I think the Bills can pull it together for a day. And I think the time is now. Allen's young and healthy, and I'm convinced that they can put it together on the right days. They've made it very difficult for themselves having to go on the road, because half the teams who get the bye these days, it's an enormous advantage. Only one team gets it. 50% of the time, the team with the bye is going to go to the Super Bowl. So it's either Denver or Seattle, most likely, in one of the conferences. So that's my take on the Bills. It's time to win it. Win it now. I don't want to hear about next year. But I do want to get your thoughts, and I want to follow up on something regarding Marv Levy real quick.
Yeah, JD, just real quick on all of that. Just, I mean, yeah, I watched the John Elway documentary, the TD stuff. I mean, he went to three straight Super Bowl, or not three straight, but went to three Super Bowls early in his career, and they got more depressing as it went on, and eventually got to the point where Denver fans didn't actually want to go back to the Super Bowl, because they're like, cool, we're just going to get embarrassed by an NFC team again. Let's not do that. And then they win back-to-back ones to end out his career. It's a little bit of ways down the road, hopefully, for Allen. He's only 29-30 in this season. I think Elway retires when he's like 37-38. And yeah, and it's a good point to bring up, though, with the rushing attack, James Cook. Like, you can no longer just say Allen's doing it with a bunch of guys. Cook has established himself, I think, comfortably now as one of the premier backs in the sport. He is absolutely a go-to back. Doesn't necessarily have to be on the field for three downs. Derrick Henry's not. He's usually not on the field on third downs unless it's like third and one and they're going to run it. He's not out there for passing situations. Likewise, Cook's not there to pass block. but he led the league in rushing. Like, that's what he does now, and he's been their kind of go-to guy when the passing game can't get going. To a certain extent, it's been frustrating because they've had to lean on him so much, but Elway gets his rings when TD runs for 2,000 yards, and they're essentially built through that, and then throw up some goal balls to Rod Smith or Shannon Sharpe.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, I just want to ask you one thing here. I am surprised that 30 or 35 years after Marv Levy departed the coaching scene, I'm surprised that more clubs haven't used the no huddle as a mechanism. And I want to get your thoughts on this because it's interesting. It's not so much from the offensive perspective, although I always loved the Jim Kelly Bills, but stop and think about this. When they won the 51-3 game, the famous story is that Howie Long was asking Jim Kelly, could you guys slow down? And when I see these fantastic superstar defenses that I'm told they're so wonderful that the Bills have to go up against, I stop and think to myself, God, if the Bills just went to a hurry up, how many of these guys would be gassed after a first down or two? And I think it can say, we're the Buffalo Bills. Our signature was the no huddle, and I was just wondering if you were as surprised as me that Marv Levy's legacy was not latched onto more often than it is. And I'll hang up and get your thoughts.
Yeah, JD, thanks for the call. It actually is. The no huddle is now used more widely in the NFL, not to that exact extent, but the Bills also would only run like 4 to 6 plays pretty aggressive. I mean, they were fast about it, but that was kind of what they did. That is now much more widely used in the NFL. You also have to remember, too, conditioning is much better now. You are not going to get to that point that you did in that AFC Championship game. Because I've rewatched it, and you can see by like the second drive, the Raiders are pretty much done. They have no idea what to do. They're exhausted. It's more widely used now. It's just not in the exact same vein. It's not the exact same template. I know the guys in One Bills Live, Steve Tasker especially, have talked about that a lot. Just it kind of is used more in the National Football League than it was. It was revolutionary then. It's more standard now. It just does not look exactly the same. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. We'll keep taking your calls, though, when we come back. What's your confidence level for Bills-Jags this Sunday at 1 p.m.? It's early days in the week. Bills don't even have practice today. But we've all been kind of waiting for it. We've all been thinking it's going to be Jacksonville for at least the last few weeks. Love to hear your thoughts when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got the Sabres tonight at home, Vancouver. The winning streak did not get to 11.
It didn't get to 11, and I reset the board. Operation 10 straight happened.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And I erased all the numbers and put 0 to go mission accomplished underneath it. So the one that's making the changes on that board is me.
There you go.
But now I've reset it. 10 to go again. Let's do it again.
Just
because it was so fun. Do it again.
Real quick, because we'll get to your calls here before we take our next time out. Just don't go on a massive losing streak. This was always the most important thing of the win streak, is how did you handle the first loss?
I did not listen in today. I'd imagine it wasn't really all that broached over the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jeremy call this a must win?
I don't know.
Because honestly,
makes me nervous.
Honestly, hey, they broke that too.
They did.
But honestly, I'd call it that.
It kind of is. If you start to all of a sudden pick up losses again, and we've already seen
much like 2018.
You picked up 10 wins, and all you could do for one day was be in a playoff spot. For one of those days.
Yeah, that's
so if you start picking up losses again, it gets
also
dicey.
The top three in the Atlantic has started to pull away.
It is starting to pull away a
you
little
are
bit.
In a situation now where you are fighting for those wild card spots. You need to make sure you're staying on point.
Pre-game at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Let's go back to the phones. Steve is up next. Steve, how are we doing?
Hey, guys, doing good. Biggest thing for this game for me is, it's scary because I think this is the one team that can outscore us in a shootout. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a good defense, but on the other side, you know, they do have good receivers. They, you know, they can run the ball, and they have a mobile quarterback. And I think that's going to really stress our defense out, especially not having somebody to match up and man or have that extra insurance in case somebody picks up something during the game with Harrison being out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going to be in a tough spot with us, Steve. Thanks for the call. And that is something that I want to mention, too, and I'm glad he kind of brought up that they can score with you. For me, it really is not the run defense that I'm more concerned about. It is how are they going to stack up against this Jacksonville team that really seemed to figure it out in the passing game. Jacoby Myers, Sean McDermott brings him up basically unprompted to talk about how big of an addition that was for them. Brian Thomas is started to figure it out a little bit with the Myers addition, but Parker Washington has kind of emerged out of nowhere in like the last 6 weeks or so to be one of their best targets.
Yeah, Parker Washington out of nowhere has been interesting.
And then Strange as well, the tight end, is very good as well. In terms of sacks, if you do care about this, Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, pretty much the same. Lawrence has taken 41, Allen's taken 40. So it's not like it's even one of those where, hey, he takes a bunch of sacks, though. It's about the same as your quarterback. It's going to be a hell of a matchup. I think it might, honestly, quietly, be maybe the best matchup of Wild Card Weekend, maybe outside of Philadelphia and San Francisco. And that might be more due to brands than anything else. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get to primetime performers coming up next. We'll also keep taking your calls as well. How are you feeling on the early days heading into Wild Card Weekends? The Bills will be on the road this year in the Wild Card to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday at 1 p.m. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
It's McDermott, because if the Bills make an AFC playoff field that lacks Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and then they lose one and done to the Jaguars. But on the scale of NFL owners being embarrassed, losing to the Jaguars is kind of up there. I could see, not that like McDermott will be fired on the tarmac, but there's going to be a big sit down. There's going to be a conversation. How did this all go wrong? Things could precipitate and trickle down such that eventually it leads to, like, you know, that mutual parting of ways. Simply because like the Bills have been a little bit unfairly set up for very high expectations in this particular AFC playoff, despite the fact that this Bills team, like, not outside of Josh, not as good as maybe you'd like for the Bills to be, not as good as we're accustomed to them being. And so I could see an embarrassing one and done loss in Jacksonville leading to some, like, you know, domino effects that gets McDermott out of there.
Benjamin Solak of ESPN, I do know that is a topic of conversation amongst Bills fans, is what happens if they lose this game? Do they just go on as business as usual on to next year? I think that's the most likely. I like, though, what he said there. Not necessarily for McDermott.
Of how he gets to it.
But it's not on the tarmac, right? There's not Lane Kiffin at USC. But more, long sit down, how do we get here, what have you. I don't think that then leads to McDermott having to fall on his sword. Maybe a mutual parting of ways. If that is to be a conversation.
If there's disagreements between the coach and the GM as well.
I think it's the GM that would ultimately get the act. If that's a conversation that's happening,
If the owner's being told me or him, I think the answer is you keep McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Pegula would do. I don't think there's going to be some sort of ultimatum there, but there could be enough. Like, again, I'm only looking at what I've seen throughout the rest of this year publicly.
Mm-hmm.
If there is beef between the two of them and it turns into, yeah, I can't work with this dude anymore, or I can't really work with you anymore, I'm not seeing the same vision as you are, okay, cool, you know, I guess we can get a new head coach, it's fine, mutual parting of ways, and that's how that goes. Again, I still think the organization, that's the one thing I don't think that Solak has here, is that I think the organization will favor McDermott over being in that.
But that is weird in the NFL. You saw it yesterday.
Weird, yeah.
Three coaches were fired. All three of those GMs stayed in place. Now, one of them is John Spytek. He literally also just got there with Pete Carroll. It's a one-and-done situation. That's fine. But guys,
and
like
Carroll's
Andrew Berry.
Up there in age.
Right. And so
Andrew Berry making it somehow is like, okay, buddy.
Like, that was a bit, I don't want to say eye-opening, but also one of those like, yeah, the guy that's sitting in the suite with the owner, you know, it usually is going to go that way. And I was listening to John Middlecoff's podcast on my way in this morning, and I think he made a good point, too. It's not just that. It's also they can speak the owner's language much more than the coach can.
Yes.
Coach is doing, you know, football speak.
Coach is on the field.
Right. And he's on the field, but even when, you know, the going gets tough, he's speaking a different language the owner may not understand at all. The GM knows contracts and simple terms of is a player good or bad. And I was listening to John say that this morning. I'm like, yeah, that also is probably part of it, is who's the one I can easily just go talk to about this stuff?
Yep.
It's the GM, the coach, you know, gets in the minutia, and you might get a little bit lost there. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have primetime players coming up here in this segment, but before we do that, we'll get some calls here as well. And we'll start this segment off with Brian on the line. Brian, how we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm hoping to be one of those Bills fans there up on Sunday in Jacksonville.
There we go.
Yeah, and I'm feeling confident. Specifically, I don't like Jacksonville's offensive line. I've watched quite a few games of them this year. I think that McDermott can dial up that pass rush, especially in the playoffs. You get Trevor Lawrence kind of shaky a little bit. He starts throwing picks. That is not unknown. And, you know, yeah, I get that they have a really good receiving core. That's all fine and well, but they get really reliant on that passing game. They start to get too reliant on that passing game. He starts to throw interceptions. We get a pick six. You know, we get a fumble recovery, return for a touchdown. That's changing the entire tune up there. That fan base, I was there in playoff game there in 2017, 2018, and the wild card game. That fan base is kind of mediocre. Yeah, great. They're real loud at the beginning, but they don't really make a whole lot of noise. You suck the air out of that stadium. You have the 25-30% Bills fans there making noise. It's going to be difficult, I think, for Trevor Lawrence and that offense to really, you know, kind of come back. I know, too, in one of the games he played, even though they did come back, you know, they went down like 20-something points against the Chargers a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he throws four picks in that game. He ends up with 4-4, but it was a bad first half for him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you do that against this Bills defense, I don't think that happens. I mean, the Bills secondary, I mean, they're one of the top secondaries in the NFL right now. I don't think that a lot of people realize how good this secondary, especially since McDermott has taken over some of the defensive play calling, you know, in the latter half of the season. So, I mean, listen, I get it's going to be a really tough test. Defensive line up there is unbelievable. With Josh Allen there, the second Josh Allen and Eric Armstead and a couple other of those guys. But, you know, listen, I think that the Bills didn't kind of show their full deck of cards, too, on offense. You know, when you look at Josh Allen's historic numbers, too, in the wild card round, he's thrown like 18 touchdowns, over 2,000 yards. This guy's a gamer. And knowing that they haven't won on the road in the playoffs in over 30 years, there's going to be a huge ship, I think, on this Bills team coming in to Jacksonville on Sunday. So I'm interested to kind of hear your thoughts. But go Bills, man.
Brian, thanks for the call, man. I will say the one thing I want to push back on a little bit is McDermott really dialing up the pass rush in the playoffs. I think that's kind of been the exact opposite. That's maybe been the main reason they have been able to get
that's
past Kansas
actually
City.
One of their biggest pitfalls,
yeah,
is
they can't get the quarterback on the ground in the biggest games.
Yeah.
And with Lawrence as well, look, I'd love for him all of a sudden to revert back to a pumpkin and his Cinderella story is over here, you know, in what has been, I think, kind of his reclamation season. He hasn't had to change teams, but he is kind of in that same vein of guys like Baker and Sam Darnold. But he's thrown one pick since week 13. He has been absolutely dialed in. He is playing the position at maybe a top five level at the moment. I'm not saying like overall he's now a top five quarterback, but just to end the season, looking around the league, he's playing the position almost better than anybody else. It's going to be a tall task for the Bills. It absolutely is. Can they get it done? 100%. You do mention they are one of the better pass defenses in the sport. They're also now probably down Max Hairston.
Yep.
It is going to be a tall task for them. I think this really is going to come down to, yeah, you kind of hope that the inexperience does start to shine.
I do like the mentioning of the pass rush, though, too, because, like you mentioned, pressure rate, they're top 15, top 10-ish, you did say. And the Bills are in a similar sense. They have very close to similar numbers in finishing. The Bills have 36 sacks on the year, Jacksonville 32.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Jacksonville's taking the football away more. Protect the ball. Don't do anything rash, which Allen's been a lot better with in the passing game over the past several years. And you've probably got a way to control things. If you can win a turnover battle as you are wont to do, it can end up being far more beneficial for you. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense has been good at taking the football away.
Yeah, their turnover percentage is second best in the league, only behind Chicago.
So, how have they lost most of their games?
Losing the turnover battle.
Being a little reckless with the football.
Yeah. It's bit them a little bit throughout this year. 803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to jump on here. But, been hinting at it.
It's
had
time.
A bit of a fun week in sports. And with that, it's time for our primetime player, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And Derek, the NFL was
wonky.
I was just going to say bad this week.
Willy wonky?
Willy wonky works. There were a few good games, but for the most part, I was locked in on the college games, some NHL.
Yes, there's a lot of a mixed bag here.
So it's a very, very mixed bag here.
It's a very mixed bag, but I have five honorable mentions because there was just a lot that happened.
Very nice.
And most of them are within football. So I'll just hammer these out. We won't go back and forth on the honorable mentions, more or less for time's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is the chaotic ending between the Steelers and Ravens.
Beautiful.
You and I, after the overtime show ended, stayed here, watched the end of that game. Because that fourth quarter became absolute cinema. It was awesome. Oops, all screw-ups.
Awesome.
And, of course, the Steelers win oops, all screw-ups in the fourth quarter. Because how the touchdowns are being scored, Zay Flowers is being covered by nobody. Calvin Austin is left wide open after he burns.
He does a little juke move, and a man fell down.
A man fell down, and the safety help does not come over.
Oh, man.
And then a missed extra point followed up by a missed field goal after a missed play by Jalen Ramsey. Like, it was oops, all screw-ups. And, of course, when we have a game of oops, all screw-ups, Pittsburgh's winning that football game. Let us be entirely clear about that. If it's ugly, it's Steelers football.
It was so good. I really
gross.
Did. It was one of my favorite games this year, just in the regular season, not having any rooting interest. It was so much fun. And even, you know, afterwards, too, Lamar Jackson, very animated in his post-game press conference. Bit of a mean question, you know. John
Like
Harbaugh, how do you feel about his future? I'm trying to like rationalize what I just saw, and you're gonna ask me about next year. Just all around Baltimore and Pittsburgh throughout that rivalry's history has always delivered, you know, outside of a few moments here and there, but for the most part, it has delivered close
it's
games.
Absolutely,
and that
chaos.
Was a great way to end the regular season.
Zay Flowers is on this list because of how that game was ending. He has two touchdowns on four receptions. 138 yards.
Awesome.
Yeah, it wild stuff. Mitch Trubisky and Ray Davis are both going to end up on the honorable mentions here. Trubisky had 259 yards passing. Ray Davis had 151 yards rushing. They were absolutely in a stratosphere of their own, to say the least, blowing out a bad Jet squad and showing them just how bad that they were. The last two honorable mentions are going to hockey. I've got Mika Zibanejad for the first ever hat trick in Winter Classic history.
Giddy up.
In a win over the Florida Panthers.
Quote-unquote winter classic.
Yes. It was played in winter, okay?
Played in winter.
And for Mika Zibanejad, that was a classic type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Rangers have more wins in outdoor games than they do home wins this year.
Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And then finally, Sidney Crosby's on a 7-game point streak. 5 goals, 7 assists. Pittsburgh's been 6-1 during this run. I think that maturing is acknowledging that, no, you should not be hating on Sidney Crosby unless you're a Caps fan or a Flyers fan. That's it.
Right, only if he's hurt you.
Like And he's hurt me, but he's so good.
Right, no, I absolutely. My honorable mentions, Myles Garrett on there, only one sack, but it does get him the record. Say what you want about the sack and Burrow kind of falling down, maybe just not wanting to take as hard of a hit as maybe he was expecting. I from what I saw, I was not able to watch all of the game, but from what I was seeing and hearing, he was fighting to not get him the sack all day. And so just kind of like fall on your sword a little bit, I understand that. But Garrett finally gets the sack. It was a bit of a stressful period there for a little while. I honestly didn't think he'd get it. Just because of how the 2 weeks prior had gone for him, where it dried up immediately, and you're like, oh no, right at the goal line, it's going to not all go for him. It does end up happening for him, though. Gets one sack, great for him. I also have Ray Davis on there. Just really happy for him, honestly. to the same vein as Mitch Trubisky as well, for him to have that performance. For some of these guys, it probably also extends their careers. You know, Trubisky may now have an option to maybe start a team like Indianapolis.
Arizona's going to bring in Mitch Trubisky to start week one.
Miami, what could they end up doing? Like, there's going to be options there for him to leave on that note. Albeit, yes, against the Jets, but he did look, you know, for the most part, very good.
He made them look like the Jets.
And then Ray Davis, you know, a guy that has had such an up-and-down year, started a little while there to really come on the up-and-up due to kick returns. And then for him to have that game, you know, over 150 yards rushing, 174 yards total, and a touchdown as well, great for him. Stafford is on this list because I think he may have locked up the MVP, beating up on an Arizona team, 4 touchdown passes for him. He's over 45 touchdown passes. I think even with Drake May's total numbers, he's still behind Stafford in total in passing touchdowns.
Well, last year that didn't matter.
It did not matter. I do want to get a little bit away, though, from MVPs. Like, you have to win your division and be, like, one of the top two seeds. I think we're really, in a sense, I think we're trying to simplify it. Stafford has been the best quarterback in the sport this year.
I do,
and, like, and if we're going off of that and how valuable that is, I think Stafford should be the MVP.
All right, so we into...
Oh, and then Nathan McKinnon, back-to-back 4-point games, wins over Carolina and St. Louis. He's absolutely incredible.
Lord.
Now we're on to the top five.
Now we're in the top five, and since we're in the top five, we'll bring up, because we failed to mention to start it, it's brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. Number five, I'm going with a player that lost in an NFL game that did not matter.
Oh, that's good.
But it's Indianapolis wide receiver Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce, in 3 quarters worth of work, 4 receptions, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and then gets ejected from the worst sense of over-abused power by a referee, because he doesn't even really bump into him.
Mm-hmm.
The ref's arm is what hits him, and he gets flagged and ejected for it. A shame, because that would have actually probably allowed the Bills to be going to Pittsburgh, which I would have loved.
That would have been nice. We'd be having a much different conversation
this week. Thanks, Stripes. Really appreciate it, because Riley Leonard was balling, and having Alec Pierce through 3 quarters certainly helped in that one.
Number five for me, head coach Kirk Cignitti of Indiana. I wanted to try to find a way. I didn't know if he was going to be an honorable mention for me. I didn't know if he was going to be on the list. I decided for him to go on the list, and mainly because you're going to see very much a theme on this is going to be how important the games were that they played in. Cignitti, though. What he has done at Indiana is storybook. There is absolutely going to be a movie, or at least a very in-depth documentary of at least the last 2 years, if not more, depending on how his career continues to go at Indiana. But absolute Rose Bowl domination over Alabama, 38-3. Game was never close. Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman. He looks like he's going to be the number one overall pick. They almost had 2 100-yard rushers in this game. They probably would have if the game was any bit competitive. And their defense just looks absolutely incredible. And to see how quickly Indiana has gone from just a doormat to a team that is beating up on some of the best teams in the sport, Ohio State and Alabama now. They've already beaten Oregon in Autzen. They're going to get another shot at them on Friday for a shot at the national title. It's just incredible. And then you look at the future. They currently, Derek, sit with the number 3 ranked transfer portal class, courtesy of 24/7 Sports. So they're not going away. They are going to be staying. He's going to get a statue in Bloomington before it's all said and done. So Kirk Cignitti comes in at number 5 for me.
All right, number 4, I'm going to the college football playoff as well. I'm going with Oregon defensive back Brandon Finney.
Mm-hmm.
Finney has 3 turnovers on the day, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery, in addition to 6 tackles, in a dominant defensive performance that humbles Texas Tech and shuts them out.
Yeah, I mean, just killed them. Killed them.
Absolutely crushes them.
Spoiler alert. Finney will be coming up on mine as well.
There we go. And that's good to know. And as a spoiler, I will stay with college football coming up in my list as well.
Number 4 for me, the last NFL guy, Aaron Rodgers. He's had a pretty solid year for Pittsburgh. Nothing great. And, I mean, he's still probably well past his prime. But 294 and a touchdown, back and forth affair with Baltimore. We talked about how great that game was. And he scored to take the lead when he had the ball last. Like, there was still a missed extra point there that's not on him, and the team still wins. But he did it when he needed to, and he was making some throws in that fourth quarter. Lamar was as well. Lamar would be on this list if they had won. And I'll just straight up say they would have flipped spots.
Right.
But Rodgers gets the win, so he gets on there. But he was absolutely phenomenal in that fourth quarter.
He played as needed in that fourth quarter. It was cinema. All right, number 3. Mississippi quarterback Trinidad Chambliss.
Oh, man.
Chambliss has been awesome for Ole Miss since he's taken over and is providing me with everything that I need in this college football playoff, and that is the performance of what spite does for you. Ole Miss loses Lane Kiffin. they keep winning.
And not just winning, they maybe have their programs in the modern history. So I don't want to like take away the 60s, but in their modern history, probably their best win.
It's their biggest statement. It's against number one Georgia. It is – actually, they weren't number one, were they?
No.
Sorry, excuse
Indiana
me.
Indiana was. But it's against still, it's, Georgia. It's Georgia, you know, SEC royalty.
It's SEC royalty, and you take them down, and Chambliss is part of that. 362 yards and two touchdowns in that win, by the way. But now you've got Miami and an opportunity to make the college football championship. And I'm excited for that. I'm actually thinking like, okay, you know what? Let it be Miami. Good. Miami is also the ultimate case of Notre Dame quiet down, but also Alabama happened, and Alabama was probably the bigger one anyway, and they got embarrassed. But no, Chambliss, primetime player, and a primetime performance there against Georgia.
Also, looks like if he does get that waiver, he'll be back next year for Ole Miss, along with Kwon Lacy, their running back as well. So Ole Miss may not be going away here as they move into the Pete Golding era, and they're doing it in incredible fashion, making it to the college football semifinal. Number three for me is part of the college football playoff, but the FCS version.
There we go.
Their national championship was last night. Montana State quarterback Justin Lampson, four total touchdowns, including the game winner in the national championship against Illinois State. They end up scoring in overtime. They kick the extra point to win 35-34. Lampson has four total touchdowns. Montana State royalty in the FCS version of that. And I've mentioned Montana State, how big that game was
and how expensive
2 weeks
it got.
Ago and how expensive it got. Montana State ultimately is the one that reaps the rewards. And then number two for me as well, because we were just talking about him, Trinidad Chambliss, and just how phenomenal that performance was. I'm just stunned kind of Ole Miss made this run. Their defense is a real weak point. You saw it against Georgia. They were able to put up a bunch of points. But this is kind of why you watch college football. Chambliss may not be an NFL guy. I think he is going to get looks, and I'm a little surprised he's going back to college next year, or at least it appears he's going to, or at least try to, again, depending on if he gets his waiver. But he was just making stunning throw after stunning throw. And I don't know. I don't think they'll keep going, but I've thought that since the beginning. I thought they'd beat Tulane and then lose to Georgia.
I have my team it. I'm pulling for here.
And now, like, I'm kind of pulling for them. Like, I want Indiana to win to kind of finish out the storybook.
But, I'm going to throw up in Purdue.
But also, like, a part of me sitting here, like, no, Indiana's going to stay around. Like, they've already got, like, a little bit of their storybook. They got to wait a little bit longer. Where Ole Miss, I'm like, no, in total spite. And then with that as well, Lane Kiffin, egg on his face already. You knew the pressure was going to be insane for him going to LSU and jumping ship from already
it.
A playoff.
I love it.
Like, they could have beaten Tulane, lost to Georgia, and that'd been it. And already the pressure on Lane Kiffin would have been huge because he's leaving a playoff roster to go rebuild and potentially build a playoff roster. Now it's not just that. He left a national semifinal team, and you have to add in too, Derek, that a bunch of these assistants that are going to LSU were also coaching for Ole Miss. So they're balancing two jobs, and they still beat Georgia.
And
so now if you're Lane Kiffin, there's probably going to be a part of you sitting there going, we maybe could have won the national title this year. And then if you're an LSU fan and the boosters and all that are going to be dealing with Kiffin, you need to be in the college football playoff next year. You need to win it in 2 years. That's going to be the expectations for him.
All of a sudden, LSU can get mightily impatient if his squad is winning without him. He's the only thing missing right now. Well, I think some of the assistants are...
Well, now they're all kind of starting to go over.
But the big piece, or the head coach, is gone. And they're winning without him.
The pressure was already very high. It is now at a nuclear Chernobyl level.
It's going to be turned up.
It's going to be incredible to see how that goes.
Wrapping up number two here, I've got Myles Garrett. This is a big thing. It's more about the milestone more than it is about the play itself. The play itself should have been blown dead on a false start. He blows past a left tackle that started early and beat him so cleanly that Joe Burrow fell down.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this
because
today.
We've seen those sacks before where a tackle is beaten so badly you think, oh God, I'm going to lose the football if I try to stay up.
Right.
And Burrow recognizes that. What he doesn't know is that it's Myles Garrett. And it also triggers the Cincinnati Bengals, the softest franchise in the National Football League. A team that has been mad about selling tickets in advance because, God forbid, you have contingency plans. Zach Taylor and Ja'Marr Chase both saying they were annoyed that they stopped the game.
Like, this hasn't happened before.
This hasn't happened before, doing? Yeah. Like,
Dude.
It's just incredible lack of awareness by the Cincinnati Bengals as a whole.
Stay 10-ply Charmin Soft, Bengals. It's getting you everywhere, clearly. It's making sure that you don't have contracts for Trey Hendrickson. It's making sure that Shamar Stewart is mad at you because you're trying to be super hard up. The way you conduct yourselves in Cincinnati is an embarrassment, and I'm glad the record happened to you.
And they lost that game.
And they lost to the Browns!
And they lost that game, too.
Oh, that was the best one. Zach Tillich, we're coaching for our season here. Brother, you were eliminated 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard Taylor say that. I'm like, what is he talking about? You're not fighting for your lives. Your season is over already.
Oh my God. It's me.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. You're just salty it happened against you. Right. And I'm happy. So Myles Garrett, number two.
Number one for me, already mentioned it. A little spoiler, he's gonna be on here. Brandon Finney Jr., the Oregon freshman DB, 6 tackles, 2 interceptions, a fumble recovery, part of a shutout win over Tech. And really, he's number one and Chambliss is number two because of the age. Finney is a freshman starting his first college football playoff game. And that's an incredible – I'm sorry, his second one. And that's just an incredible performance. Tech, though, great defense, rough offense. But,
roughed up.
The age part and, of course, how important the game is puts Finney at number one for me.
All right, number one for me. I'm going back to the hockey rinks here. Unfortunately, I have to throw up when I'm saying this one. Nikita Kucherov.
Well.
Kucherov is on a 7-game point streak as well. But he has 17 points in this point streak. And Tampa has been 7-0. In this stretch, which has allowed the Lightning to, as I'd aforementioned, be one of those three Atlantic teams in the top three pulling away. The Lightning continuing their win streak after Buffalo could not. So.
There you have it.
They are the hottest team in the National Hockey League, and it's because, in big part, Kucherov, 17 points in these 7 games.
Incredible. There you have it, though. Primetime Players for this week. It is sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. 803-0550, the number to call. We're free the rest of the way till 12 o'clock. If you want to get your thoughts in on Bills, Jags, what are you feeling as we head into Sunday, the wild card round? Bills are going to be on the road for this one after not winning the division. Are we feeling good? Are we feeling bad? A little nervous? Excited. Love to hear it. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
He's a beauty. He's probably one of the dumbest human beings I've ever seen. Like, just big like fight. White trailer trash. He doesn't care. He'll fight the toughest guy in the league. He doesn't care. He'll start every game. I love his game. He's a little rat. He's got some good skill, too, and sees the ice well. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that just competes and works his nuts off every single night, and he doesn't care if he's lined up across.
Sabres forward Tage Thompson on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. He's talking about me. It's fine. Cool.
Talking about me.
Well, he's talking about Zach Benson. We share the same first name. And we spell it correctly.
Okay.
We spell it correctly.
Let's settle it down a little bit.
Tage Thompson, though, also was on WGR earlier this morning. If you do want to listen back to that, you can find it on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com.
How can you not like Zach Benson, by the way, is really what I would want to say in that clip is, yeah, no, the guy starts stuff all the time. He's scrappy. He's good at creating turnovers, causing chaos.
He's a great playmaker. I think the moment he starts scoring more, however that is,
I think
he'll become an immediate, just everyone loves him. Not just fan favorite, everyone loves him.
You know what? Just for me, I don't even know if this needs to be released to the public. I need a mic on Zach Benson.
I wonder how good of a trash talker he actually is.
I wonder what he's saying.
Yeah, I do wonder.
legitimately wonder what he's saying.
I listened to a little bit, too, of Tage yesterday. Not just of that clip, but just more of his appearance with those guys. Talking about the win streak and how it came to be. Them having basically a team leadership meeting. Sitting down, looking each other in the eye, the whole thing. And I don't know. You know, you hear a lot of that stuff. And if it doesn't work, it looks laughable. If it does, you know, it's the greatest thing ever. It's tonight and the next few games are maybe the most important thing of the season is how do you respond once the 10-game win streak is over? Everyone loved you during it, nationally, locally. Everyone loved you during it. But if you go from a 10-game win streak to you lose 3 in a row and you don't pick up points in any of them.
You're back to same old Sabres.
You're back to same old Sabres. It doesn't even have to be, you know, that 8 to 10-game losing streak. Literally just picking up 3 losses could really kind of sink you. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm going to the game on Saturday. You know, it's not that far away. And very quickly, the feeling around that game, the vibe in the building could be very low if you lose to a team like Vancouver, who's not particularly good this year at home. You have the Rangers later this week as well on the road. They're bad at MSG. And then Anaheim, they're pretty darn good, though, on Saturday. This is going to be the most important part for them. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Love to hear your thoughts on the Sabres as well. But for the most part today, we have been talking the Bills as they get ready to go to Jacksonville for the wild card round this year. Sunday at 1 p.m., the old reliable time returns again. I was worried it was going to be like Saturday at 4:30. I was like, oh, man, everyone that wants to go to the Sabres game or the Bandits are playing as well. And it's like, nope, everyone's involved now. Everyone has to watch everything. Or even, I don't think it was ever going to be the Monday night game, but I don't know. There's some I'm always going to love about Sunday at 1. It just feels right. We'll go back to the phones here, and we'll start this segment off with Adam on the line. Adam, how are we doing?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Really caught me off guard there with the interview. I've never heard on the radio somebody referencing somebody working their nuts off. That was pretty that caught me off guard. But just in terms of the Bills game, just offensively real quick, one thing I'm hoping that everything Brady's been hiding from us this year all of a sudden gets unleashed this weekend. And one thing I would like to see more out of the offense is more two-back sets. I think our running backs are really an underused asset for the offense. Get running backs working against linebackers in space. Let them catch the ball, run with it. I think that's a very untapped asset we have in the offense. And defensively, to me, this is the McDermott game. Show me that you can game plan against a rookie head coach in the playoffs. We can all go back to Liam Cohen's press conference. This guy has his eyes wide open, and he's a rookie this year. So show me that you can be the veteran head coach that can come up big in this moment. And to me, I'm sorry, if we get ran out of the building on Sunday, it's not even a question. Whether being a McDermott, it's got to be McDermott for me. I think he's had way too many opportunities. And, you know, every year it seems like, I mean, aside from this year, I guess you can say every year it seems to be he's handed a roster and we always look around and go, wow, this is one of the best Bills teams that we've ever seen. And to me, I really would be curious to see what the roster and I guess the mindset of the team would be under just Brandon Bean. Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
Adam, thanks for the call, man. When you put it like that, though, if they get run out of the building, I think that's one thing. If it's right. A close game, they lose 28-24, what have you, I think then it's just, all right, not your year, you go on. I mean, if there's a bad call or something like that or just a coaching malpractice, it's different. I haven't even really thought if they get blown out, like what that would mean. It can absolutely happen. I mean, Jacksonville went to Denver and beat them by 10. It was never close.
If they get blown out, I do wonder how much it's going to be in how as well. Like, is it the defense does look wholly unprepared again and they just let things happen all over again and the offense is just running the same type of plays, predictable play calling, coaching that we've kind of seen be an issue with Joe Brady at times? Or is it just, are you getting outplayed by talent?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the context will be there if there's even a blowout. Everything is going to have context to it. Everything is going to have to be noted in a microscope, I guess. I hope we don't have to deal with that, but if we do,
yeah,
we will react accordingly.
The context of a loss like that would be very important. I also, though, do agree on the point of getting running backs more involved. That was a big part of what they did last year in the passing game was like guys like Ty Johnson, who for like a stretch there was their best receiving mm-hmm. option, and he was a huge X factor for them. And they have gone more towards the tight ends this year.
Yes.
Where when they're all healthy, you know, Dawson Knox to a lesser extent has sort of like rediscovered his form a little bit there. Kincaid in very limited reps last week. Kind of as more of a ramp-up period for him, looked very good. I still wonder what his year would look like if he had stayed healthy.
If he stays healthy, he's probably their leading receiver because he was 571 mm-hmm. yards, second on the team, in just 12 games.
Right, so yeah, I wonder what his year looks like. And maybe we are having a different conversation about, you know, tight ends maybe just being complement weapons, and maybe Kincaid is somebody that can be more than that. But to this point already in his career, he's kind of proven health has been an issue, and even just their utilization of how much he's on the field for them is a bit of a problem.
Healthy Kincaid also does give you something back that you didn't have in the offense. The big play chunker. Kincaid leads this team with 13 plays of 20-plus or more.
See, I was even just wondering, too, like we haven't seen healthy Kincaid with the new look offense of Brandon Cooks. New look offense. I like the fact that they can stretch the field with him. He has to catch the ball more. He was able to do that a little bit against Philadelphia. Before that, not so much. But we haven't actually seen healthy Kincaid with that aspect of the offense. But, yeah, so, I mean, if both of them are able to stretch the field, like you add that new element there. There is something there that if you're the Jags, I've mentioned it, you have to look at the Cooks plays against Philadelphia and even before that of, okay, they can maybe do this here. We can't just, move inside, flood the box, what have you, and just force them to do everything underneath. They can't, potentially, with a guy like Brandon Cooks against maybe the best secondary in football. He was constantly open against them. It didn't always lead to points for the Bills. They really struggled, for the most part, on offense against Philadelphia. Cooks, though, shined for them in that way and maybe had the best game as a receiver for the Bills this year.
Yeah.
803-0550, again, the number to call. Let's go to Frank next. Frank, how are we doing?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. University of Wyoming, long-time Josh Allen fan, large Denver Bronco fan as well. I live in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of comments. The Jacksonville game against the Broncos, it was, 31-17. I watched every play. The Broncos made a couple unwise errors at the time, and that game was a lot closer than the final score. But Jacksonville is a good team, and my point is that if McDermott and Brady go in with just the same old conservative bend not break defensive plan for McDermott and Brady, just try to not do anything creative and different, you will get beat, in my opinion. And Jacksonville has some really good athletes that I saw, and it's going to take something unusual from McDermott in terms of game planning. You have to pressure Lawrence. He's having a great year. You know that. I know that. But something, you can't go in there with just the same old, and expect to win that game in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. It's not going to happen, in my opinion. But you have to pressure Lawrence. And, I hope the Bills make it. I hope I can see a Bills and Broncos playoff game down the road, but it's just going to take something different, and I hope Josh gets an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. I think that's been lacking all year long, and I'd like to see more of it, and I'd be curious about your thoughts. Thank you.
Frank, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Frank, and we might be talking next week.
Yeah, I mean, it could,
the Bills
could
are
happen.
A six seed. They would be the most likely at that point to go to Denver.
For me, with Jacksonville and you wanted to do something different. I mean, yeah, you don't want to go in with the same old, same old. I think they've tried different things. It just hasn't worked. I mean, I've brought this up for, I think, the last 2 years. The talent level on defense, I don't think, has been nearly what is maybe touted as it is going into the season. I mean, the caller previous brought up, the rosters. And man, this is one of the best Bills rosters we've ever seen. And I think a few years ago that was probably true. I'd say the last 2 years people have not been saying that. Last year the perceived identity of the team was a quiet retool that maybe we're going to have to take our lumps last year, and then by this year we're going to, now we're back. Where I think the last 2 years in a whole have been more along the lines of the talent level's okay. I think they have tried different things. It just hasn't worked. We'll see what happens. They can get to Lawrence. Denver got to Lawrence 5 times. They scored 34 points.
Yeah, that's the thing is I think you have to disguise looks and mess with them coverage-wise. That's what you're going to have to do here, and I think that it's going to be a large task for the defensive backs here that are a little banged up, but also Benford has been playing great in the second half of the season, back to form.
Mm-hmm.
Trey White has seemed to have found another gear that was not there at the beginning of the season. Taron Johnson's been much maligned this year, and he's going to get, what, Parker Washington?
Yeah, have fun with that one.
Yeah, that's not going to be a matchup I like. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think that's why I sit here, though. And
but look, can you disguise a coverage, offer up a little protection? Or if Johnson's able to step it back up, then you have something there. But you have not been getting a lot of interceptions this year in pass coverage. You only had 11 on the year. Not very typical of a Bills secondary, would you say?
I mean, LA, they've kind of made their living off of we get – it's been no break and we get takeaways. I think this is – it's one of those reasons why I sit here. I'm confident in the Bills, in part because they've been there and done that. They've won at least a playoff game every year since 2020. But this is maybe their hardest test in the wild card round and perhaps their weakest team in the last 5 or 6 years. With that all being said, though, if they do win this game, because it is such a shaky AFC, I think they can probably beat anybody. This is maybe their toughest test up to this point. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be back for just one more segment here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you off to Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We've had a good time getting connected to our fans today, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Not really necessarily a vibe check, but just more where your confidence levels in the early days of the week for Bills and Jaguars this Sunday at 1. We also got some tweets as well. Bills Chat Podcast, always a good follow over on X, did tweet in, "Hi, worried about a close game coming down to arguably the best kicker in the NFL, Cam Little, versus maybe the worst, but I'm at a 7. That is probably a really good point.
We've not talked about that at all.
And, I don't love don't giving air, and I hate saying this, I don't love giving air to kickers because if it comes down to it, it is what it is. Like, let's ride.
Let me make my official statement on this right now.
But oof.
Don't let it get down to the kicker.
Yeah, please don't let it get down to either a it's seemingly perpetually injured Matt Prater, who's also in his 40s.
Yeah, like
or a guy they're going to bring off the street maybe today or tomorrow because they're doing workouts later today against, yeah, Cam Little, who broke the record for longest field goal and then is now the second longest field goal.
Do you know how annoying it is that on your worst drives you get to the 50 and you have a chance to score?
Yeah, it's painful. Painful.
And it's a legitimate chance to score.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan tweets in, "Feels very 50-50. I expect them to win, but at the same time, if they lost, I wouldn't be surprised. Probably it's because it's still..."
It's still Tuesdays, there's three Sabres games to get through.
Fair. I can understand that one. That's probably right. I mean, we've still got the Sabres to kind of get us there. And then also as well, I do agree. If they win, I'll be thrilled. If they lose, I probably won't be all that surprised. I mean, that's sort of where I've been leaning at most of this year. I think their talent level is not where it needs to be. And I think they do need to make some changes where teams like Jacksonville, they were talented teams with bad coaching, got good coaching, and you're seeing that talent level rise. Atlanta might be that team next year in the NFC. We'll see, of course, Michael Penix Jr. with a torn ACL. It may not be an exact one-to-one, but everyone's talked about Atlanta's talent for years.
And speaking of the Sabres, Sabres Live is coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.